Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to those both in person and online. If you're visiting with us in person or are a regular attendee, please fill out the welcome cards in the pew and place them in the offering plate when the time comes. As we are gathered here today in His name, we are assured of our Lord's presence among us. It is my prayer for us that God's Spirit will rest upon us and grant us ears to hear, eyes to see, and open and receptive hearts that will prove fertile ground for God's Word. May it be so. Before the prelude, there are a few brief announcements. We are continuing with our Niger School Scholarship Drive. Please think about giving to this worthy cause and take a pamphlet with you and share the information with others in your community. Mark your calendars for the second Sunday prayer luncheon happening September 8th. Our mission partner focus for prayer that day will be our Niger partnership. The session is providing a barbecue meal. September begins the stewardship season at Hebron Church, and Reverend Noah will speak to this.
We're beginning our stewardship season starting this Sunday, today. It's the session's desire that this stewardship season be focused not necessarily on just financial gifts, as often is the way with stewardship seasons, but thinking about giving up of our whole lives, our time, our talents, and our resources, and the way that God is calling us to give of these things which He has given to us back to the life of the church. And so in the coming weeks, we'll hear stories from members and friends and mission partners talking about the way in which your giving to Hebron of your whole lives has impacted our community and is impacting our world. And so I want you all to think this week and in the coming weeks about the ways in which God might be calling you to give of your life for the work of His church. There will be a letter out this week and then eventually dedication Sunday in October or November. So just keep that in mind.
Finally, today we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. This is the Lord's table, and it is Christ who offers the invitation. All those who have been baptized in the name of the triune God are welcome to eat of this meal. It is the practice of this congregation that we take the elements all at once after they are distributed. Are there any other announcements? If not, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you. Thank you, Marcus. You're invited to stand as you're able for the call to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
Come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God.
And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
Let us worship God.
Same Lord who has gathered us into worship now greets you with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Trusting in God's faithfulness and compassion, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, you pardon all who truly repent and turn to you. We humbly confess our sins and ask your mercy. We have not loved you with a pure heart, nor have we loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not done justice, love kindness, or walked humbly with you. Have mercy on us, O God. Do not cast us away from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and sustain us with your bountiful Spirit, all for Christ's sake.
We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Today, September 1st, marks the first of many things, right? The first sort of school weeks, maybe your second week into school, the beginning of our stewardship season. And to add on top of that, we're also beginning a new sermon series this week focused on the book of Galatians. We're calling it No Other Gospel. This is a fiery letter, but one that has great comfort for our lives as believers. And so as we turn to Scripture, and as we start our study in this book, let us pray. O Lord our God, you who spoke your word to us in Jesus Christ and preserved through the centuries a record of your word for us, send now your Holy Spirit to open our ears, hearts, minds, and lives, that we may hear again. We may hear again your good word to us. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. I also neglected to send the scripture reading to James this week, so it will not be on the screen. Or it is. Ha! I was going to invite you to turn in your pew Bible. You can still do that. It's right in front of you. So let us read now from the letter to the Galatians and listen to God's word. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to that which we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be accursed. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Several years ago, the Cairo International Garden Municipal Park in Egypt came under some scrutiny when a local student made a surprising discovery in their zebra enclosure. The student in question discovered that the two animals which were advertised to be zebras were nothing more than donkeys with black stripes painted on. He posted a picture of what he saw on Facebook, and the photo went viral, prompting a variety of people to weigh in on the authenticity of the zebras, or lack thereof. A local news team contacted a veterinarian who claimed that zebra snouts are usually black and their stripes are a little more consistent and uniform compared to the ones in the photo. And she also noticed that on the animals at the zoo, there was a lot of smudging around the face. At the same time, the zoo director insisted during a radio interview that the zebras were, in fact, real. Though similar in physical form, donkeys and zebras are distinctly different. The counterfeit could never replace the genuine. We know the importance of the genuine, of the authentic. Much of our Western consumer culture has been formed and driven by a desire for the real thing. We talk of real diamonds or real silk or a genuine piece of art from a specific artist, and the list goes on, and driving much of our economy. And I mean, you watch these auctions and millions upon millions of dollars just to get the real thing. We've been formed to understand, we've been taught that the counterfeit can never replace the real deal, can never replace the authentic. And yet, unlike the zebras, we still can be fooled by a good fake. In our reading this morning, the Apostle Paul confronts the Galatian Christians because they have been fooled by a good fake, and they've quickly abandoned the gospel of Christ. Paul, who established the church in Galatia, proclaimed the good news to a majority Gentile land. These Gentiles, Paul would later write about, they came to understand the meaning of Jesus Christ, of his death and resurrection. And so they converted from the polytheistic worship of their upbringing to the worship of Messiah Jesus and the one God of Israel. They were zealous, committed, faithful believers in the promise of the gospel. But now the situation had changed. Other teachers, most likely Jewish Christian missionaries, they had come to the Galatian Christians spreading a different gospel message and convincing these Gentiles that they needed to be circumcised and adhere to the outward requirements of Jewish law in order to be right with God. These teachers were appalled by the apostles' assertion that to be part of God's covenant people, to be part of Abraham's family, one simply had to have faith in Messiah Jesus without any outward requirements. They used every means to convince the Galatian Christians of this truth, even accusing Paul of making up his own gospel. And it seems that they were successful in some measure, so much so that Paul had to return in word and write to them a rebuke and a defense of his message. Paul is astonished here, dumbfounded even, that these same believers who understood so deeply the message of Jesus and had a zeal for the good news would be swayed to a different teaching and so turn from the one who called them in the grace of Christ. But let's be clear. This other gospel was no real gospel at all, but really human requirements tacked on to the good news of Jesus. It was as if the message of requirements was dressed up in the wear of the gospel, and yet underneath was falsehood. They confused the people, they muddled their minds, so that the meaning of the gospel was diluted. So Paul had to call them back to their senses. Now you may be sitting there thinking to yourself, well, that's all fine and good. But that was then and this is now. I don't really think about circumcision. I don't really think about the adherence to the law. And that's probably true. We're not really thinking these days about whether we should be circumcised or have our children circumcised so that they can be right with God. And we don't often think about maybe kosher observance or keeping the festivals, the Jewish festivals. And it's probably true that people aren't trying to convince you otherwise. This is not necessarily the false gospel we are confronted by in our times. However, this doesn't mean that there aren't other messages out there trying to masquerade as good news. Our modern life is filled with competing concepts and battling beliefs trying to convince us of their truthfulness. We are inundated daily with millions of messages through our phones, through the internet, through the TV, all trying to vie for our allegiance, all trying to be for us the good news. We could spend a long time trying to identify and understand these competing messages out in the world. But what we're interested in here today, and what Paul is addressing in this letter, are the so-called gospels that find their origin in the church. Paul's opponents here were not some outside force or external religious movement, but fellow Christians, Jewish believers in Messiah Jesus. It was from inside the church that these false messages had come. And it is sad to say that even in our day, there are false gospels which have made inroads in the church and among sincere believers. And like the Galatian Christians, we need to be called back to our senses. It may be the prosperity gospel. The belief that God just wants us to live lives of prosperity, our best life now. Lives free from any discomfort. All we have to do is name it and claim it. Faith then is trusting that God will fill your bank account or remove all your troubles or give you a life of ease. Oh, and it doesn't hurt if you sow a little bit of money so that God's on your side. The central assumption is that a true Christian can never be a poor Christian or an unfulfilled Christian or an uncomfortable Christian. It may be the political power gospel, that God has given us the power to create a Christian utopia, a religious nation where we will rule. This may take more subtle forms, like the belief that God desires a nation that is only for Christians and by Christians. The church in this mode exists just to prop up the nation and by its own power create a godly kingdom on earth, our godly kingdom on earth. Here, faith becomes a position to lord over others for our own gain. Or still yet, and this one might be harder, It may be the get to heaven gospel. Belief in Jesus is just so that we don't go to that bad place, but instead we get to go to that good place. It's our divine get out of jail free card. And we know we'll be comfortable in that heaven because it's not too different from life now, it's just a little less bad. Faith is just a ticket to escape our world and to get to a better place. Each of these, in their own way and with their own emphases, dilute the good news of the Christian faith and so are false. Donkeys painted like zebras. Now we must ask, what do they all have in common? What do they share? Their central feature is that they are entirely self-centered. These so-called gospels are all about me. Faith becomes about me, my wants, my desires, my comfort, my wealth, my power, my religious observance, my heaven. Me, me, me. It's not that the gospel doesn't have anything to say about prosperity or power or heaven and hell. It does. However, these other gospels elevate ourself. They put ourself at the center and create ourself as our object of worship. We turn from a worship of our Creator to the worship of ourselves, an idol. The idol of self cannot possibly be the content of good news because it is the basis of our brokenness and of our hostility to God. The reformer Martin Luther described our position, our state in sin, as always being turned in on ourselves. That as sinful people, we're really always looking inside, self-centered. Self-centered gospels are no gospels at all, but are a continuation of our own brokenness. And still, we too often trust this gospel of self. The real deal gospel, the authentic gospel which Paul proclaimed, which we proclaim, does not center on us, but instead it points away from us. It points away from ourself and to another, to Jesus. Paul, in verse 7 of our text, calls his message the gospel of Christ. The Greek here can have a double meaning, both the gospel which belongs to Christ and the gospel about Christ. And in both of these meanings, the phrase stands true because Jesus Christ is both the source and the content of the gospel we proclaim. Jesus is the center of our message. It is a message which began in eternity past when God the Father sent the Son to be God with us, to extend the hand of divine friendship to humanity. The same God, enfleshed in and as Jesus, gave himself for our sins, dying on the cross to reconcile us back to himself. Jesus, who in his rising from the dead freed us from this present evil age and delivered us into God's reign to come as a foretaste of that reign where we will be with him. This same Jesus sits now at the right hand of the Father in glory, continually ministering, bringing the things of humanity close to God and bringing God closer to us. Jesus Christ, you see, is the originator of the gospel, is the means by which it comes to pass, and is its goal, its end. And it is in this gospel, which begins and ends with Christ, it is in this gospel that we find our beginning, our life, and our end. Any gospel then which doesn't have its beginning, its power, and its goal in Jesus Christ is a false gospel. Paul's opponents in Galatia proclaimed a message which was centered on external law-keeping to gain God's favor. The false gospels of our day center on what we can get out of God for our own wealth, position, and comfort, making God into a divine vending machine. In each of these, Jesus is erased from the picture or is merely a means to fulfilling our end. My question to you this morning is to ask, in which gospel do you place your trust? Paul, in this letter, is calling you and me to our senses, to think deeply about where we are placing our trust. Are we trusting in the real deal, or are we being fooled by a good fake? Do we find our trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, or in the so-called gospel of self? Paul sought to bring these believers in Galatia back to the truth, back to the one who had called them in grace. And the good news for us today is that this same grace is here for us. That same Jesus extends it to you now, extends it to us who are so often muddled by the messages of the world that we forget our source and our end. We do not stand condemned. We are not accursed just because our minds were muddled. Instead, Christ calls us to turn from ourselves and place our whole trust in him. For in him we find our beginning, our life, and our end. Don't be fooled by a good fake. Place your trust in the real deal, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. As we prepare to come to the Lord's table, we turn to God in gratitude and faith, giving back of the abundance which he has given to us. So give out of gratitude and faith. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have looked upon us with favor and given us Christ himself to be our beginning, our life, and our end. And you have poured upon us many good gifts. And so we give back of that abundance to the work of your church for the proclamation of your gospel and for the joy of your people. Bless and sanctify these our gifts and our whole lives, which we offer to you now, that they may be an offering suitable for your purposes. All through Jesus Christ our King. Amen. Table in remembrance that our Lord Jesus
even to the bitter and shameful death on the cross. By his death and resurrection and ascension, he established a new and eternal covenant of grace that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken by him. We come to this table to have communion with that same Jesus Christ, who promised to be with us even to the end of the world. In the breaking of the bread, he makes himself known to us as the true heavenly bread by which we are nourished. And in the cup of blessing, he comes to be the true vine in whom we must abide if we are to bear true fruit. And we come to this table in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are a pledge and foretaste of the feast of love of which we shall partake when his kingdom has fully come, when with unveiled faces we shall behold him like he is and be made like him in glory. Since by his death, resurrection, and ascension, Christ has obtained for us the life-giving Spirit who unites us all in one body, so we are to receive this supper in true love, mindful of the communion of saints. This is the Lord's table. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon me. And learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust in him to share in the feast he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy and right, it is our joyful duty to give thanks to you at all times and in all places, O Lord our Creator, Almighty and Everlasting God. You created the heavens with all its host and the earth with all its plenty. You have given us life and being and preserve us by your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word made flesh for us and for our salvation. For the precious gift of this mighty Savior, who has reconciled us to you, we praise and bless you, O God. Most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once and for all upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. Send your Holy Spirit among us, we pray, that this bread and this cup may be a communion in the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Grant that being joined together with him, we may attain the unity of the faith and grow up in all things into him, Christ, our Lord. In the joy of his resurrection and in expectation of his coming again, we offer ourselves to you as holy and living sacrifices. God of compassion, you remember before you the poor and the afflicted, the sick and dying, the prisoner and all who are lonely, victims of war, injustice, and humanity, and all others who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. O God, the Creator, we pray for all nations and peoples. Take away the mistrust and lack of understanding that divides your creation. Increase in us the recognition that we are all your children. O Savior God, look upon this your church in its struggle upon the earth. Have mercy on its weakness. Bring an end to its divisions and scatter its fears. Look also upon the ministry of this church, which you have called Hebron. Increase our courage, strengthen our faith, and inspire our witness to all people, even to the ends of the earth. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your eternal kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. All of this through Christ, with Christ and in Christ, In the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. Gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. As often as you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me." And in a similar way, after the supper was over, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take, drink. This is my blood, shed for you and for me, for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me." And so it is that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim our Lord crucified and risen until he comes again in glory. These are the gifts of God, and they are for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith. Body of Christ broken for you. Take and by this bread and cup of your favor and goodness towards us, that we are members of your body, which is the blessed company of all faithful people. You have made us heirs of your everlasting kingdom by the merits of your most precious passion and the death of your Son. We pray, O Heavenly Father, assist us with your grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do such good works as you have prepared us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So go out from this place knowing that the gospel of Jesus Christ has its beginning, its power, and its end in him and in him alone. Know that there is no condemnation, but only grace as we trust in him. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day and always. Amen. You may be seated.